Invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 that begins with probably some very well-known words even in our world. Judge not that you be not judged. If someone takes a stand against something that a person says or does, it's not uncommon for that person to object. You're judging me. And the Bible says, judge not. As I was looking for a background for the PowerPoint, I found a graphic that to me does show how many people read the Bible. And that graphic simply has the words judge not circled, and the rest of it is scribbled out. Because they don't look at the context of what Jesus is saying. So what did Jesus mean when he said, judge not that you be not judged? The word judge there, the most common word in the Greek Testament, is a verb that's used about 114 times. And it means to judge, to determine, sometimes to condemn or call in question. It means to select and then to come to a conclusion, to make a determination. And sometimes with that added idea of relating that conclusion to a specific act or a certain person. It's really neutral in its character. It depends on the context as to the type of judgment. But the truth of the matter is, in looking at the scriptures and what the Bible says about judging is both condemned and commended in the Bible. It's both condemned and commended, prohibited and commanded. How can this be? When Jesus says, do not judge, how is it that sometimes we are and sometimes we are not to judge? The concept of judging is employed in different senses in sacred scripture. But notice with me, first of all, that some judging is required. Some judging is required. And I think we don't have to go any further than just this same chapter, Matthew chapter 7. I want to read the first five verses and then highlight some other verses in this last chapter that composes the Sermon on the Mount. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank or log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank or a log is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. In order to fulfill what Jesus is saying, particularly with that instruction in verse 5 about removing the plank in our own eye, that glaring fault in our own lives, before we try to assist someone with a fault of theirs, that requires judgment on our part. So does the next verse. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. In order to abide by Jesus' instructions, a judgment has to be made. Is this person receptive to the truth of God's word, or would it be like putting pearls before a swine? Or giving what is holy to the dogs? Would it be sharing something that is meaningful with someone who doesn't have any regard for it at all? That requires a judgment on our part. To abide by what we call the golden rule of verse 12, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, requires some judgment. It requires some thinking on our part, some decisions. How do we want to be treated? Then we need, when we make that judgment, to treat others the same way. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, the broad way and the narrow way are contrasted. And we have to make a judgment as to which road we're going to travel down. The broad way that leads to destruction. The narrow, difficult way which leads to life. Verses 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. You'll know whether or not they're false prophets by what they teach and by what their teachings produce in the lives of those who follow after them. But in order to make that assessment, we have to make judgments. You see, certain judgments are required. We go to the end of the chapter, and the choice to build our house on the rock or on the sand requires a choice, a judgment as to whether or not we're going to hear and do the will of God. We make judgments every day, and some of them are actually required of us. Secondly, we are instructed by Jesus to judge righteous judgment. Again, that's instruction. John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Stop judging by mere appearances, he's saying. Make a right judgment. We can see by that language here that Jesus is saying there are judgments you must make. And the verb is in the present tense, which means sustained activity. It is a command. And so the sense is practice judging of the righteous sort. And righteous depicts both the character and the manner of the one who does the judging. And so we all make judgments, but we must be sure that we're compassionate, but also in conformity with the facts. Another area in which judging is required is when we confront, rebuke, or correct in love. Here are two passages. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Here is our responsibility as Christians. We have a brother that's gotten caught up in some trespass, caught up in some sin. It's our responsibility to go to that brother, to seek to restore that brother. Yes, going with the right attitude and the right manner and a spirit of gentleness and considering ourselves lest we also be tempted, realizing it could easily be us in that situation. But here it is, instruction. Yes, you're to go to seek to help, which will require confronting and rebuking and correcting, but in the right way and doing it in love. That requires judgment, and it's proper. James chapter 5. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Here's a brother that's gone in the wrong direction. Oh, but you're judging that brother. Yes, we're seeking what does God say about the condition of that brother. We're not making the judgment. God is making the judgment, but we're standing by God's judgment and seeing a brother that's wandering away from the truth, and we want to bring them back. And that does require judgment on our part, but it is proper. I believe we must understand it's not unloving at all to judge a practice or a doctrine as false because the Scriptures teach it. In fact, it's unloving to keep silent while a brother or sister is wandering from the truth or overtaken in some trespass, and we just leave them to it. There are times when judging is proper, it's required. But there are times when some judging is condemned. What is Jesus talking about? What judgment is he condemning? Judge not that you be not judged. One way of describing it is hypocritical judgment. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, he asked, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? A question was posed at our prayer breakfast recently. Did Jesus have a sense of humor? And to me, this is humorous in a way. Jesus is teaching, and he uses some imagery in order to teach this lesson. How can you, with a log sticking out of your eye, say, hey, let me help you get the speck out of your eye? To me, you envision that, and it is pretty humorous. But the point that he's making is it's hypocritical to try to point out and try to help a brother with some small fault when you've got a huge one in your own life. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Appropriate judging must be done sincerely and for the welfare of the individual and based on the proper standard. The Jews were told that they were guilty of this hypocritical judging. Paul confronts them, Romans chapter 2, notice with me. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. Why? For at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment, you're doing the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you'll escape God's judgment? And the answer is no. No, you won't. So Paul rebukes the Jews. They're pointing at the Gentiles saying, what sinners they are. Look at what they're doing. And Paul says, you're doing the same thing. That's hypocritical judgment. That is a wrong kind of judgment. Superficial judgment is a wrong kind of judgment. Let's go back to John 7:24. Look at the first part. Jesus says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And right judgment is not judging according to appearance. To judge someone strictly on the basis of race or cultural background, unsubstantiated rumor, appearance, financial standing, all those are examples of the wrong kind of judgment. God is no respecter of persons, the Bible tells us. And that word denotes an opinion formed on the basis of face. God is not a respecter of faces, nor should we. And so judgment, superficial judgment, is condemned. And so is harsh, unloving censoriousness. There's a big word. Had to look it up. What is censoriousness? To be censorious means to be severely critical of others. Here's an example for you in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. You remember Jesus told this parable, Luke 18 verse 9 tells us, his audience. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So here were some who were harsh, guilty of harsh, unloving censoriousness. They looked at themselves, they were self-righteous, but looked down on others. And so he told this parable about two men who went to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And can't you see him pointing to this tax collector and looking down his nose at the same time? I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Look at me, God, how righteous I am. Unlike this unrighteous sinner. You remember the publican in Jesus' story there wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you remember what Jesus said after that? It was this man, the publican, who went down to his house justified. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. That Pharisee was guilty of harsh, unloving censoriousness. It's the wrong kind of judgment. It would include things like fault finding and hypercriticism, being overly critical. One problem with being overly critical and having that self-righteous spirit is that judgment is often expressed about others without knowing all the facts. Here's an old story. Once there lived a little old bachelor who had as a neighbor a widow whose hobby was gossip. And one favorite target of that gossip was this old bachelor. He could do nothing nor go anywhere without arousing her suspicions. He had a wheelbarrow which he pushed to the market to carry back his purchases to his home. And one day, while returning home from the market, he spied a yard sale sign across the street from where he was walking. And so he stopped his wheelbarrow, left his wheelbarrow on that side of the street, not realizing where he was leaving it. And where he left it was in front of a tavern, a bar. But he just left his wheelbarrow there and walked across the street and to see what was being sold at this yard sale. And when he came back and picked up his wheelbarrow and went home, guess who met him outside his house? It's the widow from next door. She criticized him for being in a tavern. "And I know you were there because I saw your wheelbarrow parked in front." The old man said nothing, but he thought to himself, "I think I know what will cure this woman." The next morning, on arising from sleep, the widow looked out her window and saw the little old man's wheelbarrow parked on her front porch. It had been there all night. Be careful of having an overly critical spirit. Because the tendency is we tend to make judgments when we don't know all the facts. And you see, our judgment is wrong when it's needless, when it's unfounded, when it's hasty, and when it's severe. You see, the type of judging that is condemned is not the righteous exposure of error or wickedness or even the rebuke of a particular false teacher. There's abundant passages regarding that proper judgment. But what is condemned is that type of judgment that is done hypocritically, superficially, or in hostility. So how do we judge properly? How do we judge properly? Obviously, we use the right standard, and the standard is God's word. But that needs to be a given. But there's another place we need to start. Begin here. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Where we need to start is with ourselves. Christian love is not blind. God never says ignore the faults of others, ignore the sins of others. But He does say take care of your own faults first. The first place we need to look is in the mirror. We need to begin with our own lives first. I think we need to pray this psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think if we spend a lot more time examining ourselves and judging ourselves, we're not going to be guilty as much of the wrong type of judging. And when we do have to make those proper judgments, it's going to temper the way we make those judgments. Consider the words of this song by John R. Rice. "I thought once of the man next door and all the sins he had, and I remember feeling good that I was not that bad. And then the Holy Spirit came and showed me all my sins and told me if I got right, revival would begin." We need to start with ourselves. We need to judge ourselves, compare our own selves with the standard of righteousness that is Jesus and His Word. And when we spend time doing that, examining our own lives, the person who has judged himself will display character traits like these: humility, godly sorrow, gentleness, reticence, that is, not revealing one's thoughts or feelings readily, patience, and discretion or wisdom. Where do we start? We need to start with the man or the woman in the mirror. That's where we start. Judge not. It's a popular phrase in the world today. But most of the time it's misquoted. There are times when judgment is correct. It's required. It's needed. But there are other times, as Jesus is pointing out in Matthew 7, it is wrong. It is incorrect. It is hypocritical. It is superficial. Or it's hypercritical. Censorious. Let's judge properly. But let's start right here with ourselves. As we examine ourselves in light of the truth of God's Word, what do we see? What do we see when we look in the mirror? Are there some changes we need to make? And perhaps you desire the prayers of the church to that end tonight. Or are you ready to obey the gospel? Are you ready to be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can begin that walk with Jesus? If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.